We celebrate this Mother's Day, and of course, an appropriate scripture for today, as the anthem, "Bless This House," is what makes the house work, which is love. And we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is Paul's recognition that Jesus' central teaching is about the nature of love. So I shall read then from St. Paul. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love." May God commend this scripture to our hearts and to our lives. Of course, today we celebrate Mother's Day, and we're happy to see everybody here because everybody here had a mother, and it's good to know that because that means hopefully we were cared for. And we have families, and we celebrate families, and some are here today as families, and we know that family life is a real joy. And also a challenge. One mother said to her son, "Every time you are naughty, I get another gray hair." And her son responded, "Gee, Mom, you must have been a terror when you were young. Just look at Grandma." Well, I know I heard that children cause gray hairs when I was a child, and in fact, my mother even told me that I was giving her gray hairs. I never saw any gray hairs on her head. Where were all those gray hairs? She must have covered them up. But the story sticks with me anyway because I always had that suspicion that I was causing my mother gray hairs. On the other hand, some parents are a little overprotective of their children, to such an extent that they cause themselves gray hairs. One mother got a letter from the camp counselor where her son was attending for a period of time in the summer, and the director said that her son needed some discipline. So mother said to the counselor, "Please don't slap Irvin. He is a very sensitive boy. It would be much better to slap the boy next to him. That would scare Irvin. Getting children headed in the right direction toward the good life can be a challenge. Whether we are terrors or spoiled. Well, there was a flurry of excitement in the household of a family whose oldest child was about ready to go to college for the freshman year at the university, State University in Fredonia in New York. So the mother said, despite the fact that the college was just 90 miles away, in a town we often visited because we had relatives there, I still felt a sense of impending loss. As I helped my daughter into her car, I issued my last piece of advice. Call me, I said, if you have any questions about your courses. Then I turned toward the house. Suddenly I heard the slamming on of the brakes, the wheels screeching to an urgent stop, and a cry came out from inside the car. Mom, she shouted, which way's Fredonia? Indeed, which way is Fredonia? Not quite like Quo Vadis, but close enough to bring the point that there is a question that's loaded with symbolism. There are times in all our relationships when we slam on the brakes and say, figuratively speaking, which way is it to Fredonia anyway? Where are we going? Which way is the really good life? Now, that's not just a good question. It's actually a crucial question. You recall the comment that was made in the past by one writer who said, those who have a why for living can bear almost any how. You know where you're going, you can bear a lot of burdens getting there. So the question deserves an answer that goes straight to the heart of the matter. Make room for God at the center of your life. Make room for God at the center of all activities. Be in conversation with God all along the way in life. Only God ushers us into the good life that we long to experience. Here is a God who controls sunlight from time out of mind. Easier than we can turn on the light in the kitchen. Here's a God who moves the stars around and one who is the source of all life and all creation. And modern people often identify themselves as religious persons. They approach this Almighty God as though he were a benevolent grandfather or a high-level servant who likes to do little favors for the people who are on the in with him. As a result, modern people can lose the sense of awe and wonder that only comes from God. More accurately, modern society has slipped into an idolatry. That is to say, the worship of that which we make ourselves. And they say this, they do this, even though 90% of the people in the country, you know, on a given day will say that they believe in God. The homage due God alone has been redirected. Whether we speak of it in terms of a major preoccupation or a value system or priorities, the hard fact is that God is not number one most of the time with many people. God is not at the center of their lives. In our modern world, in our society, the Spirit of God is not dominant. The spirit of what's in it for me is what is dominant. If we need any object lesson in this, all we have to do is look at what's happened to our economy. We can look at what we're going through, and we can ask the question, what's in it for me? And we will find immediately that we can see a big portion of the issue. The spirit of acquisition has taken over. While the search for fulfillment through self-gratification has continued to escalate. And it's almost as if the way forward to the good life is that way. Until it all, of course, comes crashing down. That is the result of a cultural idolatry. The search for fulfillment through the presence of God in life has been postponed. Modern people try desperately to bring God down from the first place to where they can handle him easily. To take the mystery out of God. And I'm not speaking here of atheists who eliminate God, so to speak, but rather of the believers who try to bring God down to a more manageable level, where God is still part of life, but only a part. So there is a time for work, a time for play, a time for television, a time for school, and a time for God. Consequently, God isn't at the center of their activities. God comes to be regarded as one more thing to be fitted into the schedule, a part-time God. In a Sunday school quiz, a six-year-old misspelled the word God. Instead of God, she wrote good, G-O-O-D. The teacher gave her an A anyway. After all, God is good. God is love. And with love at the center of all your activities, life is good. Which way is the really good life? The way of love. The spirit of love, Jesus tells us in the Gospel according to John. So in the Gospel according to John, Jesus says this, I give you a new commandment, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. This is the commandment that St. Paul was picking up on in his letter to the Corinthians, because this is what he had learned that Jesus was really teaching, and where the really power of life did lie. So Jesus goes straight into the heart of the matter. And then there are these lines that are adopted from a poem by a Mexican mystic. Alone we are only a spark, but in the spirit of love we are a fire. Alone we are only an anthill, but in the spirit of love we are a mountain. Alone we are only a drop, but in the spirit of love we are a fountain. Alone we are only a feather, but in the spirit of love we are wings. Alone we are only a beggar, but in the spirit of love we are kings. With more than a little imagination, someone wrote a scenario about what took place when Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room the night that he made this statement, I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, you also must love one another. And then around the table there, Simon Peter said, do we have to write this down? And the apostle Andrew spoke up and said, "Will this be on the next test?" And James said, "Will spelling count?" And Philip said, "Do we have to know it word for word?" And Matthew said, "When do I get out of here?" And John said, "Does this apply to all of us?" And Judas said, "What does this have to do with real life?" And Jesus wept. A well-known gospel singer sings a song. He asks the question, "For once, why don't you do what God wants you to do instead of what you want to do? For once, why don't we? For once and all, why don't we love one another as Jesus loved us?" These words of Jesus, written in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, were reported as being spoken at the scene of the Last Supper with the disciples gathered around. And later on that evening, in chapter 15, still at the table, Jesus again says, "This is my commandment, that you love me as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." When Jesus asked them to love one another as he had loved them, what, in fact, was he asking of them? Well, surely he was asking them to help each other with guidance and with direction, as he had done for them. Surely he meant they should be patient with each other, as he had often been patient with them. He must also have meant that they should highly value each other, as he highly valued them, and now was going to lay down his life. And of course he meant that they would seek to follow God's way of love, as he himself was giving the example of how he was doing that now. This way is very challenging, not only back then in that time, but a couple thousand years later in our time too. And it is a challenge in every time. And it is a challenge for every person, whether we live in these self-indulgent times or possibly in a more austere or Spartan time, as in some other parts of the world. But in fact, most of us really don't want to escape the commandment that Jesus gave to his friends. We may even wonder how to do it. We may feel that we're struggling to figure it out and are not quite able to do it, and we're not sure we're doing it right. But we know in our hearts and in our minds that it is a good commandment. It is the right direction to go, whether we are gathered here in our church family or whether we are in our personal family, which we celebrate today. There's a woman I know and have heard about who has two children and who struggles in a failing marriage. The question is, how can she love in this situation? Well, she chose addiction as the way to handle her dilemmas. She copes with it by avoidance and escape. And so her mother must spend weeks at a time caring for the family, even though she herself lives hundreds of miles away. So she must leave her own husband in order to go hundreds of miles to do these tasks. And he must support her and handle the issues at home alone, and at times go to be where she is, too. These persons all know the words, "Love one another as I have loved you." And they, as a family, are not alone in this traumatic struggle. For many people know similar challenges and struggle with them on a daily basis. And they seek in faith to follow Jesus as they try to live through their particular events. No one goes through life without being challenged by this commandment to love one another as I have loved you. To love with guidance and direction, and with patience, and with respect for the value of each one's life, as Jesus loved his friends and loves us, as God with eternal love loves even now, here and now, with everlasting love. To show such love, Jesus sacrificed himself. And by the love of God, he was raised from the dead. No wonder this love is our vision to this day, and as we look to our own future as well, and as we seek to share it with the whole human family. We all might have the attitude of a little girl whose father was a radio disc jockey. She was invited to a friend's house for dinner. When she arrived, the mother asked the little girl if she would honor them by saying the blessing. It delighted the little girl, so she cleared her throat and looked at her wristwatch so she wouldn't take too long, and she said, "This food, friends, is brought to us through the courtesy of Almighty God." Well, she was right. All the food we eat comes to us through the courtesy of Almighty God. All of life comes to us through the courtesy of our mighty God. All of love comes to us through the courtesy of Almighty God. I invite you to pray with me. Today, gracious God, we reflect on the way forward as the way of our family life and our life together in the church. And we ask you to show us how this is true not only in these places, but in every place and circumstance, that the way forward is to learn that way, teach it, and seek how to do it. Today we remember our mothers especially, all mothers young and old. We pray for young mothers that they may be blessed with patience and tenderness, that they may care for their families. We remember and pray for our own mothers who nurtured and cared for us. And for those mothers who are separated from their children because of war or poverty or conflict, we pray that they may feel the loving embrace of our God who wipes every tear away. And we pray for women who are not mothers, but still love and shape us with care and compassion. We remember mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers no longer with us, but who live forever in our memory, nourishing us with their love. We thank you, O God, that your power of love has not gone away from us, but that comes renewed each day by the gift of your Spirit to teach us the ways that you want to open for us as we look ahead in life. Open our eyes and our ears and our souls that we may be sensitive to these ways and commit ourselves to them. Through Christ, who has loved us always. Amen.